Welcome, everybody, to our last sponsorship forum, at least with the three of us, this Sunday, May 5th. I'm Suzanne. Please join us in the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity, to accept
the things
I cannot change.
Courage to change.
And the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, everybody, this is our last sponsorship forum, at least with Susan, Cheryl, and I. If anyone would like to step up and continue, the three of us will help guide you or answer any questions. I'd like to thank everybody. It's been a great ride the last 3 years. So this is being recorded, so if you don't feel comfortable leaving your name, just say you're a compulsive eater. Please, no phone numbers during the recording. We have, the beginning of this, we're going to have open forum, but Susan is going to be our timekeeper. In order to share, you need 30 days of continuous absence and then stepped up as a sponsor, food sponsor, and you'll have 3 minute shares, and Susan will time anybody. Anybody may ask a question about sponsorship. So, and then we might have a couple of topics and a couple of readings at the end we'd like to share. So, we're going to open up with, does anybody have any questions or like to share something, especially questions, any questions on sponsorship?
My name is Laura. Compulsive, you don't have a question? Hi. When you have a slip and you were a food inventory step sponsor and you get your 30 days back, do you only become a food sponsor? When are you still an inventory step sponsor?
That's a wonderful question. There is a process. Cheryl, would you like to take that?
Yes, this is Cheryl, compulsive eater. What I've been taught in program is that, and I've had that situation with food inventory step maintenance, and when I had my slip, I would have to announce myself when I got my 30 days back as a food sponsor. And then, depending on the sponsor, she will decide when you're ready to go back to announcing yourself as food inventory step maintenance sponsor. But that, it's really basically where you sponsor things and that probably what you believe you're capable of. You know, even with that slip, and I guess it depends on what type of slip it was. It was just, you know, whether it was just minor or whether it was something that might be harmful to you to sponsor something. And again, in the sponsor guidelines, it tells us that if when we have a slip, we can choose to keep our sponsees. We need to let them know, and they have the choice to stay on with you or not. But again, all this needs to be discussed with your sponsor, but the beauty of it is that I don't need to release my sponsees when I slip. I just need to be honest with them.
Thank you. Okay. I think in the sponsor guidelines it does say 30 days food sponsor, 60 days inventory and step, and 90 days maintenance. But Cheryl is right. It depends upon the situation and your sponsor.
Excellent.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anyone else with a question?
Well, this is Mary Beth. I just wondered if I could respond to that as well. To the last
yes, Mary Beth, go ahead.
I think with me, I'm concerned about when I sponsor someone and they have a slip, I am concerned about their recovery, and so I ask them to not sponsor people while they're getting back, you know, kind of getting theirs renewed again. And it really does depend with me on how long the slip is. Is it a relapse? How far in recovery they have been before that? What happened? What's their willingness to do whatever it takes? So I take all that into consideration when I'm working with someone. So I just wanted to add that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Beth. Anyone else have a question or comment on that? Okay, Cheryl, you wanted to comment on something?
I'd like to put a question forward, and I'd like to hear some comments from others. When I was a sponsor coordinator way back, the question I used to get is, I want a good sponsor. And my question to them is, what is a good sponsor? What are the points what makes someone a better sponsor or what makes someone not that good of a sponsor? So I'd just like to hear someone's opinion or experiences of what they believe is someone that sponsors right, well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so let's open it up. Let's hear people's opinions, their point of view. What makes a good sponsor? Who would like to share on that? That means anybody that's here at the forum can open up and share what they think is what makes a good sponsor. Well, I guess we're kind of quiet today. Susan, would you like to share on what makes a good sponsor?
Well, going back on the meeting that just finished, and I'll start by saying I'm Susan, a compulsive eater. To me, love is the central piece of what makes a good sponsor. Someone who approaches the sponsoring relationship with an open heart, with compassion, with a respect for the other person's journey, and a willingness to learn and to grow in that process. One of the central understandings I have with sponsoring is it is a very deep way for me, for we who have not been skillful in our relationships, to learn how to be in a wholesome, authentic relationship with another person. And in that I have not been skillful in my relationships, I make mistakes. I am not skillful in many ways. And to have the humility to say I was wrong, to have the humility to say I was wrong and I, at some level, harmed the other person. I have had people that have left because of missteps I've made Anyway, so, you know, to bless them, change me, to have the intention to do better each time, to have the humility to recognize where I may have gone wrong, and then to have the humility to say, I don't know exactly what I did wrong, but I recognize that I played a part in this. And back to, you know, being a good sponsor, to be a witness and a guide, but a loving guide, a guide, I think, also reaching back to part of a share in this last meeting, is to make suggestions. As a witness, I am someone who has seen an arc of behaviors and responses and reactions in the other person, and I can gently offer some insight, if the person seems open, to what pattern might be replaying in a given situation, and just offer a thought on how the other person might think of things differently to help reframe. That's what comes to mind in this moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Would someone, Cheryl, I'll just give people a chance, and if no one wants to, just a second. Anyone who'd like to?
Yeah, hi, it's Linda M.
Linda, go ahead.
I agree with Susan to kind of to be the sounding board for a sponsee and to be the witness, to pay attention, to find perhaps patterns that that the other person doesn't know. You know, when I'm in the middle of having an emotional situation, especially when I start to feel overwhelmed, you know, that's when my sponsor says, I've seen this before, you know, and then when I, you know, tell something that I might be doing in the future, to say, okay, this is kind of a red flag that perhaps, you know, you want to consider or look back, and also to share my experience, strength, and hope. You know, it's not up to me to tell somebody what to do. I firmly believe that, but just to say, this is what I've done, this is what my sponsor taught me, and this is what works for me. And to be firm and to work through our because that's nice and concrete. I've been in programs where that was not, where there wasn't a book. It was just, you know, what you said or did, that's what you did. And if you didn't like it, you changed pictures and they would have another set of you know, I don't want to say rules, but they would have another set of how to do their program. And this is really concrete, and I can refer it if somebody has questions, if they, especially if they get to a point of like, well, this doesn't make sense, or, you know, it says right there in the book, you know, X, Y, Z, and there's also a sentence or two saying, you know, when we fight it, are we really trying to just make things happen our way? You know, am I trying to force something that because I'm afraid or because I just don't want to? I don't want to do it that way. Well, in the Forever Abstinent book, it says that kind of thought might be, you know, you trying to finagle something and to, you know, let go lovingly if it's not working, because then I get to be humble and say, you know, maybe I'm not the person, and yeah, and let go with love. That's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Cheryl, you wanted to share on this?
Yes, I can. This is Cheryl, compulsive eater. Thanks, Suzanne, and Susan. I love sponsoring, by the way. I usually have quite a few at a time, and that's because I grow from that experience. And, of course, I like to help others to help see how to continue to function as we read. And so it's very important to me to make that experience something that both of us, that I look forward to when I pick up that phone in the morning, and that the sponsor should feel the same way and not dread making that call. And sometimes that happens, too, where I'm not comfortable with the person calling, but I need to be honest and open about it. And what I do is try to get them someone before I release them. But that's the rare situation. For me, I need to do whatever it takes. So just the other day, I was expecting a sponsee call, and when she didn't call, it wasn't like her. She calls on the dot. And it was like 5 minutes later, I figured, well, I can jump into my shower. She may not be calling today. And then she did. And I took her call in the shower, which is ridiculous. She says, no, I'll call you back. I said, no, you need to talk, and I'm here to listen. And so whatever it takes, you know, my personal life is, of course, very important to me, but somehow program is right up there with it. And my family used to smile where they could tell when I picked up an outreach call. They could tell when I was talking to a sponsee. It just had this different feeling of connecting, of loving that person, wanting to be there to help, and soaking up that experience, strength, and hope from a newcomer, from a sponsee, remembering that I was there, and then trying to do give back, big give back, that which I've received from my sponsor. And, you know, my sponsor helps me out with situations in life, and something that just being quiet, and then I go, oh, yeah, I forgot to include my higher power, or, yeah, I need to take it through the three steps 1, 2, and 3. And so, you know, just being there reminding me. I know these things, but I forget when I'm in a situation that's too overwhelming. So I need to give that back to sponsees. I was reading something here. We did a sponsorship workshop back in 2007, and it said my experience with sponsoring. Well, some sponsors do this. They ask you, have you made your calls? Are you doing service? Are you going to meetings? Are you writing every day? I'm not so kind of strict about that. I will ask every few days or every week or so to see if they're working on the tools. But I love to hear that they are. Am I right in not, am I enabling them and not working the tools? I don't know. That's always been a question in my mind. How, well, let's say the word strict, although I don't like that word. Do I need to be in order to help my sponsee? You know, how can I be more effective? So for me, it's most important that I be there, be available for that 15-minute call, no matter what, unless I know beforehand and I let them know. It's most important that I do not talk about myself. When I listen to that question the sponsee's giving me, I need to listen. If they ask for some kind of feedback regarding a program experience, I will do that, but I just like to let them speak. You know, same thing with taking inventory. I feel as I was more comfortable when I could just share without getting any feedback, because then I felt that I maybe, I did hear that experience someone had where she felt the sponsor was shaming her and making her feel really bad about things that had occurred in her life way past when that she was going through in her inventory. So my policy is just, you know, let the sponsee talk. Let her, you know, let her understand that I'm not there to judge. You know, I'm there to love and help and do the best that I can. And then, you know, so what's a good sponsor? In my opinion, a good sponsor is just there to work the tools and help the sponsee work the steps and just be there. Be there and be kind and compassionate. Sometimes things are happening in my life when I pick up that phone and I am so mad at whoever it is that I'm mad at, and then all of a sudden I pick up the phone, I'm a totally different person. The sponsee does not need to know what's happening in my life, does not need to know what situation I'm in. That's for my sponsor to hear. And so these are the ways that I hope and I feel that I am an effective sponsor. But again, I am not perfect by a long shot. I need to learn, and I do that on a regular basis, hear people share and learn from that. And so I learn from my sponsors just as well. And also remember to keep it green. Remember where I come from and how hard it was for me, especially when there's a slip and there. I was afraid to tell my sponsor. I was embarrassed. I wouldn't get on the phone and, you know, when I couldn't share. But this is how I remember it, by going through that experience with a sponsee and helping her, reminding her that it's okay, we're not perfect. You know, I've had my share of slips, and it's okay. This is what the program's all about. We can come back. We come back to a loving relationship that we left or with someone new. Thanks for letting me share that.
Thank you, Cheryl. Is there someone else who'd like to share on what makes a good sponsor, or a question, what makes a good sponsor? Who'd like to share? Okay.
I'm Leanne. I'm a compulsive eater.
Go ahead, Leanne. Oops, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Thank you. You know, I come from the reading that we do so often in our relapse recovery meetings. We all need to be loved and accepted, not because we're abstinent, not because we're at goal weight, but just for who we are. And this is especially true for those who are still suffering. So when I sponsor, I try to come from love. I try to give them the love that they don't feel for themselves until they get to start loving themselves. I have to be a teacher. I don't have to preach. I have to live it. I have to live what I believe. And I'm so grateful that people have been in my life to teach me how to do that. And today, I can say I love people, and I can say that it's okay. I had someone that kept saying, aren't you going to fire me? Aren't you going to fire me? I don't like that term. I don't think it's appropriate. I think that it only turns people away from our program instead of bringing them to our program. You know, I may have failed, but I'm not a failure. I may have made a mistake, but I'm not a mistake. And so I do come from the side of love, and I will love them until they love themselves or until they choose to not work our program and to go somewhere else or whatever they choose to do. That is their call. It isn't mine to let someone go. God put them in my life as a teacher, and it's always going to be a lesson for me. As long as I learn my lesson, it isn't a waste. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Leanne. Would someone else like to share? Okay, I can share. This is Suzanne. And if someone were to call me and say, what would I look for in a sponsor, I'd say, well, first of all, get someone, you know, that you're available, that you mesh on the same time. My very first sponsor told me I'm available at such and such a time. At that time, that worked great for me. It got me on the path of being structured and disciplined. But then she left, and my life got a little different, and I needed someone with flexibility. And God sent me the sponsor I have today. And she could be flexible. Not everybody can. I always say to someone, if you're new, just grab on to any sponsor the first 30 days, because you got to struggle there and it's hot. You got to go with it. If you mesh, if you click, then you continue. Hopefully that's the case, but it's not always the case. Being connected on that time that you are available, the sponsor is available, is so important. You know, I learned so much from my sponsor. She's been around a long, 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 long time. Never left the room. 53, 54 years. And she got a sponsor a few years ago, and she kept calling her every day, and the sponsor was never available, and she saw her at a meeting. She's like, I'm calling you every day. And she said, just leave your food. And my sponsor said, I need more than that. You know, if it's just that, it's just a diet. I need someone to be accountable to. And I'm like, well, yeah, I need that. We need that. This is the program. We call in our food and our question and have that relationship. So if the sponsor never answers your call, well, guess what? That's not a sponsor for you. So look for someone that it's available, that you too have an understanding of a time and what happens if. Sometimes people go to meetings, and so maybe that day that they go to a meeting, it's not going to work, so you talk about it. Someone who's open. And I remember I was still new doing service, although I'd been in program for a while. We did a workshop on sponsorship, and someone shared, I'm not a nanny. And I'm like, yeah. So it's a fine balance of let's be accountable, let's have some discipline, but I'm not a drill sergeant. There's a balance somewhere. And also, find someone that you feel safe with. That's important. Safe and loved and not judged. Someone that can guide you, and, you know, someone that has a sponsor to go to if they don't know the answer. And if that sponsor doesn't know, their sponsor knows. So that's what I'd like to share. Anyone else would like to share on what makes a good sponsor? Well, we could go to our next topic, which does have something to do with what we were talking about, what makes a good sponsor. And it's eyes on your own plate, and there are many meanings to this. Not just about the food. And if anybody has any more comments or shares about what makes a good sponsor, please, by all means, share. All right. Susan, would you like to share on eyes on your own plate?
Sure. Yeah, the idea is that each person works their own program. A person might come to their sponsor or a fellow and say, I hear so-and-so is, not eating an abstinent food plan, and when that person talked to me, they just seemed cavalier about the whole thing and said, you know, what's the difference? I'm doing fine. I'm not compulsively eating. And so then the person that heard this information says, well, why am I working so hard? And, you know, why can't I? You know, and this is just an example of somebody else has a different food plan. Maybe it is a completely abstinent food plan, and it's different than mine. And the simple, quick response is keep your eye on your own plate. Keep in your own lane. Bless them, change me. I'm a compulsive eater. I'm sorry, there's lots of activity in my house, and I have a feeling you're hearing those voices. I'm a compulsive eater, and I'm an addict, and I'm looking for the way out. I'm looking for how I can work at the edges and make it fit for me and my will. And our program is pretty clearly cut. this is a design for living that is written down, and each of us is asked to write down what our food is for the day, and each of us is asked to do our tools on a daily basis or a weekly basis when it comes to meetings, and that's what works. And if another person chooses to do it their own way, their ego-driven way, bless them. For me, I need to work the program as it is written. I need to be very clear that I am following the suggestions of the tools. I am working the steps. And I'm staying abstinent. So, thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Cheryl, would you like to share on Eyes on Your Own Plate?
Thank you, yes. Eyes on My Own Plate. It was a long time ago, and I was on a fellowshipping situation where after the meeting there was discussion, and you know, people hang on and they speak like we do in a fellowship, and I lurked. I just didn't say I was there. Well, you don't have to. I was just listening, and I heard something that affected me for a long time. I heard two old-timers in program talking, and one of them said, well, I don't speak to my sponsor every day. And I go, really? Is that possible? Are we allowed to do that? What happened? You know, I had so much respect for this person. All of a sudden, it's like, what? And it did affect me a long time because all of a sudden these suggestions and these, you know, requirements became something of like, you know, not that important, but that wasn't true. I did have the discussion with my sponsor at the time, and we worked through it, but I really had to concentrate on my thoughts, on my program, on my whole. And so one person can do that. So I had to be very careful. Whatever it is that I'm saying to a newcomer, you know, we talk with a person for 50 minutes every day. Something's bound to come out that's not quite the way it should be. But I try to be very careful. You know, I know that there are many in this area, there are many that have watered down this program to where, you know, foods are decided this food is okay because of such and such, or because, you know, health reasons, this thing is okay. It's not okay. If it's not on our Forever Abstinent booklet, it's not okay, you know, except for some, you know, foods, vegetables, that, you know, there's so many they can't put into the book. But, you know, when I start looking for things outside of the food plan, when I start trying to, you know, find things that and decide that that's okay, that's not good for me. You know, I've heard from many sponsors that if you need that so badly, if you're craving that, certain, even if it's an abstinent food, I need to cut it out. There's something wrong. You know, I can't indulge in that abstinent food, even though it is abstinent, and my head has to be out of the food. I cannot be concentrating on the food. So I'm pretty simple with food. My meals are pretty much the same all the time, and I like it that way. You know, I used to try to look for different recipes, you know, to make this program work. This program works for me with just the way it is. I don't have to go out there looking for loopholes. And so I'm careful with that, and sometimes a little irking, a little irritating, or, you know, I want to say, hey, that's not the way we do it, but found out that that's not right either. I need to keep my eyes on my own plate, help my sponsors do the same. My sponsees do the same, because that's what I hear from my sponsor, and whatever's out there is not my business, really not my business. I learned that the hard way, that your business is not my business. So, yes, there may be different people doing different things, and what I found in my experience is if they continue doing that, they will eventually fall away, because any time I, you know, veer away from any kind of program, especially this, it's not going to work. I have to stick with it. And regarding the importance of turning over the food, let's say in a day that our sponsor is not available, years ago I heard someone say that they were trying to turn their food badly, and they couldn't get the sponsor, couldn't find anyone on outreach. They called the operator, and they said, listen, I need to tell you what I'm going to eat today, and that's it, you know. You know, you don't have to answer. And so she did. She told her what she was going to have that day. I said thank you and hung up. I sometimes feel like that telephone operator, because I just get the food dumped and the question wasn't answered. There were no meetings. There were no tools. What do I do? You know, how long do I need to accept that there's no tools being worked on and there's just the food that's being turned over. So that's a question I've always had with my sponsor. We discuss it. How to make that sponsee want to work the tools. Understand that this program is not a diet. We need to include the tools on a daily basis. So always a work in progress, always learning how to deal with things and trying to do the best that I can. Thanks.
Thank you, Cheryl. And I would like to share on this. Many years ago, I was probably in the program a year and a half. I had a good friend who since passed away. He was my age. That's a scary thought. And he called me, and he said, I need an outreach call. I'm like, oh, great, because I didn't get a lot of outreach calls. But he and I outreached, and he said, I have a problem. I go out for fellowship with a friend, and she's eating a lot of food. And I want to say something. And he says, it's someone I like, emotionally like, and I'm connected to, and I don't want to say anything, but it's getting to me. And he also told me, he said, the other thing that's really bothering me is she's making an abstinent food and selling it at the meeting. And at this meeting, we had an issue with a couple of people that would bring stuff and actually sell it in the meeting. And he said, I'm having problems with this. And I said, you know what, let me talk to my sponsor. Like, how do I do this? I don't know what to say. Thank God I didn't say anything, right? And that's when my sponsor first said, eyes on your own plate. And, you know, she gave me some more words of wisdom. I went back to him and I said, you know what, you have to be concerned with your own plate and your own food. I don't know what her food plan is. I don't know if she's on maintenance. You don't know. So what are you eating? He's like, okay, I get it. So what am I eating? He said, what do we do about this other issue? And I said, I took good early direction from my sponsor, right? Have you spoken to your sponsor about the other issue? And he said, no, I didn't think of it. And, you know, it's so important that when this issue comes up that we hear that someone is using the program to make money, even sometimes during sponsorship, it's not right, and sometimes people don't know that it's not right. They may not realize what they're doing. So I always go back to my sponsor and say, this is going on. Someone is making money doing such and such, like selling with this one woman. Well, actually, there were two women. Selling something during a meeting, and someone did have to speak to both of them and talk about the traditions. And that's the other thing my sponsor said, you have to study the traditions, and let's start doing that. And so we always go back to our sponsor. And what I said to my friend was, have you spoken to your sponsor about this? And I said, did you speak to your friend about the other issue at all? And he said, yeah, I finally did. And he said, you might want to speak to your sponsor about using the program as a money-making endeavor. And she said, oh, I didn't know I was doing anything wrong. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. But he had to speak to me first at an outreach and then speak to his sponsor before he felt he could say something in a loving way. And sometimes we do it, we don't know. I don't know everything, and I've put my foot in my mouth several times on my lovely career here. But I'm willing to learn, and I'm open. You know, I'm open to good, orderly direction. And you know, and I am reminded, eyes on your own plate. Just to leave you with this, I have a sponsee that's on a medical abstinence, and we went to the convention, and she said, I'm afraid to put food on my plate. I said, why? She says, because I eat more. I said, you're on a food plan. You're on a medical abstinence. And it was maintenance by that time. I said, people are different levels. You know, I don't eat certain things, but I eat, you know, some things you eat. I don't eat everything. So I said, eyes on your own plate. It doesn't matter what people are looking at you. You keep your eyes on your food and no one else's, and it's not your business what they think. Anyway, I am done. And I'd just like to say something.
Yep. Okay, the one thing I neglected to mention is it's important for me to encourage sponsees to be a service, any kind of service. A good sponsor will make sure that her sponsees understand the importance of service and how we need to give back. And the other thing I wanted to cover was anonymity. There's a situation where people were trying to you know, who was at that meeting? You know, how many people were there? Who was there? And that, and they didn't think that that was breaking anonymity. I think that's a real breach of anonymity. So I believe that's true. So maintaining that anonymity, not breaking anyone's anonymity, is very important for me. It doesn't matter who it is or what it is. I don't need to know that. If I want to know that, I need to get to that meeting and see it. So anonymity is a very important part. It's an important part of our tools. Yeah, thanks for letting me share that.
Thank you, Cheryl. I think we have time for a quick share, but then we're going to do two. We're going to close with two readings. All right, Susan, would you like to do your reading?
Sure. So from the sponsor guidelines book, it's in the three-step ceremony, step one, page 11. As the sponsor is lighting the first candle, she or he says, the candle of truth is the keynote of all our endeavors. It is the guiding light of all who strive to stop the advancement of compulsive eating. It is the unrelenting force that permits no double standard. Its attainment brings the satisfaction of inward peace. Truth must be the watchword of the compulsive eater. We must fearlessly face the truth to avoid the ever-present pitfall of self-deception.
Thank you, Susan. And Cheryl, would you like to do your reading?
Yes, thank you, Susan. This is when the sponsor lights the second candle at the step-up ceremony. This is the candle of reality, and it is a new light. It opens the door to a new life. It holds a promise of new understanding. It offers a chance for personal renewal. It makes a statement that goes way beyond fantasy, and it holds the dream of a better tomorrow. Without the light of reality, we are destined to remain in that sick, shadowy world of past mistakes and unrealistic dreams of false tomorrows. Thank you.
Thank you. How are we doing on time, Susan?
We have 5 minutes. Okay. Actually, another clock says we have 6 minutes.
Okay. Is there someone who would like to do a share on sponsorship? What makes a good sponsor? And one final question for us as we sail off into the sunset.
Susan, if no one's asking any questions or making comments, can I just read the step two, last part of the step two?
Yes,
step
go ahead. Yeah, go
okay,
ahead.
So the sponsor says, let us now light the candle of acceptance. As you light it, I shall read the invocation. Without acceptance, you could not have progressed this far. Acceptance is seeing things as they really are. Acceptance is understanding that we have spent our lives denouncing everything, and now we must open up our hearts as well as our minds and accept. We must accept the will of God and accept that only God can restore us to sanity. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Well, I'd just like to thank everybody. No one is speaking up, so what is there left to say? You know, find a sponsor that's still willing to learn. We don't graduate from this program, and it's a life course. So get a sponsor that's still willing to learn and still open-minded, have that willingness. And this is the end for Susan, Cheryl, and I, but if someone would like to continue with the sponsorship forum, give any one of us a call and we'll help you get set up and how we decided on the topics and all that stuff. And we will stop after the Serenity Prayer, we'll stop the recording and we can...
Hold on, yeah, Suzanne, yes. I'd just like to kind of further the pitch. We have stated before, this is Susan, we have stated before what a joy for us, each of us, this has been to help co-lead these forums. They came from just a wish to have an opportunity to explore the service of sponsorship, And there is no set game plan on how this has to look. We came up with this on our own. And as we pass the baton, there is the freedom to make it look differently if a person chooses to. And I do hope that someone will pick up the baton and continue what has been, I think, a very valuable service for many. Thank you.
Absolutely. And we're forgetting one other person. When we started, there were four of us. We want to thank Woody because she had a lot of valuable input. There were four of us once upon a time. It has been a joy. I think Susan and Sherilyn have gotten to know each other on a different level. We've had a lot of fun with this, and it was a joy. Sheryl, would you like a closing statement?
Yes, please. Well, I'm going to miss those powwow sessions we had every month before we did this, but it was a wonderful run. It was a beautiful 3 years. I've learned a lot, and I hope we've helped some people. And you know, it's really been an experience I will never forget. And it was great working with both of you, Suzanne and Susan. And I guess I'll miss it. And so, if someone wants to continue on, I'm ready to help. And really hope that someone carries it forward. Thanks.
And go ahead.
This is Mary Beth. Could I say something?
Yes, Mary Beth. Go ahead.
Just want to thank the four of you that have done this sponsorship forum, and for your modeling service for us. Thank you.
Thank you. There was something I was going to say. Probably not important. Well, it was a joy, and we're still here. We'll leave our numbers after the recording stops. And there was something I was going to say about the sponsorship. Oh, so a lot of good came from it. I wanted to leave on that note. A lot of good came from this forum, and because of some issues that came up on this forum, some motions were brought up and will be presented at the business conference. So a lot of good information popped up, and action will be taken and hopefully voted on and accepted. So thank you, everybody. We'll close with a serenity prayer, and then we'll leave our phone numbers after the recording is stopped. And if anybody's an available sponsor, please hold on and leave your number at that time. Thank you, everybody. Okay, let's unmute and do the serenity prayer. God,
grant me the serenity
to accept
the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can.
And the wisdom
to know the difference.
I will not be done.
Thanks, guys. That was wonderful. Yeah.